Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
And gentlemen, let's get ready to be inspired! Introducing in the red corner, American Tennis! And introducing in the blue corner, your host for American Tennis, Mr. Chuck Creasy! Ladies and gentlemen, time to get in the game.
And hello once again. This is Coach Chuck Creasy. It's another week of American Tennis. And thanks for tuning in once again. The last few weeks we have been sporadic with our broadcasts, but we're ready to go full boat again here. And we're off and running here as we finish up the summer, and a lot of things that we've been doing in the summer, the camps and things, have finally come just about to an end. But this is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I wanted to remind you that every week on the UR Tennis Network, you'll also listen to Coach Jason Haynes. Well, first of all, thank you, Jason Haynes, for the UR Tennis Network and all that you have done to promote the programs, and Lisa Stone's Parenting Aces each week on Tuesday on the UR Tennis Network. Also, John Denise's Florida Tennis Program. We remind you every week that on the UR Tennis Network here in American Tennis Program, we invite you to stand up, speak out, say those things that need to be said. And folks, we really, really need you to, tennis is really at a point right now where there is so much going on with changing a sport that we've had for 141 years. I mean, the heritage of this sport is unbelievable. And, folks, we really have a lot to stand on. It's not like our sport has really been in a whimsical position. I mean, we have people play, and we have people drop off, and it's been a wonderful program sport for 141 years. But what in the heck are we doing trying to change the scoring system and all that they're trying to do? It's sort of is just like a knee-jerk reaction. I'm very, very disappointed about a lot of the way that our programs are headed. And the junior tennis does not inspire if we're only going to play these tiebreaker sets and the NOAAD scoring and all this. But we really, really do need You just stand up and speak out and say what you think. Lisa Stone's program's on Tuesdays, John Denise, Thursday afternoon. Edmund Burke, the quote I always give is, all that it takes for evil to prosper is for good men, good people to stand up and do not to stand up, but to do nothing. We need you to stand up and speak out. We've got a great program planned here, and I'm hoping that Dr. Poole will call in today. I have Dr. Jim Poole, and he's ready to talk to you about Fast Brain. This is a phenomenal program that we really have had. Look, in the past, golly, the past 15 to 20 years, all of us as coaches have heard about our youngsters being diagnosed with this situation, I don't want to call it a disease, because he's not going to call it a disease. He's going to talk about it being an advantage. They refer to it a learning condition that really actually can be an asset. And if he calls in, this will be a phenomenal program. I'm going to play, if I can get it up here, a little video about, or an audio about Fast Brain, just to tell you about it. And let's see what how they describe this phenomena called Fast Brain instead of ADD here. Okay, I'm not having any luck getting that up right now. Well, listen, folks, I need to go to a commercial, and we need to come right back here in a second and talk to you about Fast Break. Dr. Poole, I'm waiting for him to call in, and this is American Tennis, and I'm Coach Chuck Creasy.
This is Coach J.P. Weber of the We Coach Tennis Radio Show. In my 30 years experience in coaching tennis, I've never seen a better tennis training situation for children than Coach Creasy's Total Tennis Training Camps. Chuck Creasy has coached them and trained them in every arena, from juniors to collegiate to professional tennis, and over 15,000 children have improved their games at his summer tennis camps. Find out more at ChuckCreasy.net. That's ChuckCreasy.net.
This is Coach Chuck Creasy, and I wanted to remind you to listen to American Tennis every week on the UR Tennis Network. And, folks, go to ChuckCreasy.net. You can get my books. You can get my blogs. Folks, we've got a few more camps this summer, so look at ChuckCreasy.net and see if you can sign your youngster up. We teach a lot more than just how to hit a ball at our Total Tennis Training Camps. Creasy, and we're trying to make them in America the good old-fashioned way with hard work, and we're trying to turn your liabilities into assets, and that's one of the things that we'll be talking about here today. And I think I got him online, Coach Poole, Dr. Jim Poole. Are you on the line there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm so used to talking to coaches. That's just the way it is. You know, we refer to everybody as coach, but. Thanks very much for coming on the air again. It's been about 2 years. Actually, we are just starting our fifth year of the American Tennis Program. But your program, the last time you were on, it was one of the most listened to programs. I'm just glad you've been able to come back. I went to your website, and I tried to play that for our audience, sort of the audio there, and I wasn't able to get it up. But your website is Fast Brain, folks, fastbrain.com, BRAIIN.com. Actually, you flip the two I's now, and you call it, we're flipping ADHD on its head. And look, I'm going to open it up like this. I'm going to talk a lot about your background and things as we go through this, but ADD is a condition that as a coach in my early years, I did not hear much about. I mean, I knew some kids were a little more hyper than others, and I knew some kids had a little bit harder time learning and reading, and we all knew that. And then all of a sudden, it was, I think, in the late 80s, early 90s, everybody started talking about ADD, and this kid's got ADD, and that kid's got ADD, this kid has, and that kid has ADD. And I, when they talked about the symptoms, I'm saying, you know, wow, I had all that stuff. I mean, I couldn't read, and I had to go to those reading classes, and I had to, you know, take extra notes, and it was really hard to get through all this stuff. But you had me at that time, I saw you in Raleigh, you said, I want you to pick up a book called The Edison Gene. And the Edison Gene completely gave me a different look than what I was getting from other places on ADD, and that, hey, listen, these guys are pretty normal if you want to talk about athletes. So with that, everybody is going to want to hear what you have to say, Dr. Jim, and you know, I'm going to open it up there, and could you go ahead and just talk about that background and what you're doing now and sort of how we're addressing it. This is going to, I mean, we're going to be able to talk 3 hours if we needed to, but we've only got an hour today. So go ahead, Dr. Jim. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, Coach Chuck, I appreciate you having me, and you're certainly somebody that I've looked up to and have been a real forerunner in tennis through the years, and really I think doubles is played like it is today because of you and a lot of great things. And so it's really a pleasure to have known you through the years and to have watched you develop so many players. It's amazing. Fast Brain got started with the fact that I had a teenager in my office, and I'm seeing her for problems focusing. She's a beautiful ninth grader. Was very well known, and you know, in her school and so forth. And so I had a great meeting with her and her mother, and we're leaving, and she's crying. And I asked the mom to leave the room because obviously something else is going on. And I said to the child, I said, so what's the matter? And she said, well, there's something wrong with me. And I said, well, who said that? Well, you're giving me a pill. And I went home that night realizing, you know, we've got to think of something else than ADD and giving a pill. And I came up with Fast Brain in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning. I typed in Fast Brain into the computer, misspelled it, and trademarked it. And so that's how the name
you
came.
Misspelled it. You
double-I. Yeah. So we don't even use the term ADHD in our office because, to me, ADD is attention described differently. And my middle son, who's very analytical, Matthew, who took Hebrew 1 and 2 at the same time at the Baptist Seminary in town and made an A in both of them, he said to me, Dad, it's not how you can fit in my world. It's how do I fit in your world? And I went, whoa, maybe we're looking at this all wrong. And since then, the way we deal with Fast Brain here, and I've got over 5,000 patients over the last 4 to 5 years, and 84% go from making C's and D's to aping honor roll. And we've got,
wow.
I've got players, I've got people playing professional golf. We've got them playing basketball, lots of college players. I had a boy in 6'4", 295 last year, D's and F's his whole life. And then I told him instead of, Mom had him wanting to go to culinary school, and I said, well, instead of doing that, why don't you go to business school at a big college and own the restaurant. And he said, I could do that. And I said, yes. Well, a year later, in the 11th grade, just this last May, he made AB Honor Roll. He will now be going to football camps. He's going to be going to the Clemson football camp, and he'll be probably playing Division I ball in another year. And he told me, he said, you know, you're the first person that said I could become something. And the interesting thing about that, as sad as that was, is that we, those of us with ADD, we are kind of told all the negatives. Life is negative, and you're never going to become something. You're never going to do this. Why don't you do that? And it's all this negative self-talk. And when we're playing a sport, we like the sport, but we have negative self-talk. So Fast Brain is built on the positives, positive self-talk, positive ways of thinking about things, taking the positives that you do. And you do this, Chuck, in tennis. If I have a bad match, you'll say, well, I remember a couple of those forehands that you hit wide. They were solid hits. And then I remember that return you made me, and that was dynamite. We just got to, you've got it in you. We just got to figure out how to get it out most of the time. And so now I'm going, wow, that's true, rather than saying, you know, you lost the match. You know, what happened? Why didn't you study harder for school? Why didn't you work harder for your match? And it's all these why nots rather than picking the positive. So I think, Chuck, what we came up with is so going back to this, you know, this teenage girl, when she understood that she now was fast brain and that her brain is quick, she can learn fast, she can do things quick. Yes, she's a cheerleader. Why is she good at what she does? And she ended up making A's all the way through school and in college. So that's been the exciting part of what we've been doing. And then we've been doing it in the sport world also.
Well, now, Jim, I want to go back here real quick. You had already, this is 40 years as a pediatrician. How many years complete have you been a pediatrician?
I don't talk about that, Chuck. Thank you very much.
Well, no, I want to put up the point is that you practiced probably 30 years. I know at one time in the state of North Carolina, isn't it? I mean, you did after school programs for kids, and you had like 60,000 kids total. I mean, we're talking all over the state of North Carolina, predominantly. As a pediatrician, you were treating people regularly. And, I mean, you must have seen a lot of ADD kids and a lot. I mean, you've seen every possible thing that has ever happened with our kids in the past 20, 30 years, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was head of pediatrics in Stuttgart, Germany for the military, and then came to Raleigh in 1982. And set up my own practice then, grew it to the largest practice in Raleigh, and then managed care came in, and I was at a meeting, and I didn't like what was happening, so I refused. 80 doctors were banding together and were getting bought out by a huge managed care company, and so I just walked out of the room and told them I can't do this, and I was the only doctor out of 80. So no impulsivity there. I just went home, and my wife said, how was your meeting? I said, we're unemployed. Other than that, it was fine. So, and that's a true story, because my impulsivity also said I can accomplish. And the one thing that us ADD folks have is that we do feel that we can make it happen. We do feel that life is greener on the other side, but we somehow can win this. And that's a beautiful thing about us. We don't want to take that away from that person, that creativity and imagination. And so, yeah, I've been doing general pediatrics. I started the first camp for kids with asthma in the South, and because I have asthma, and I was head of the daycare committee for the Academy of Pediatrics nationally. And so all these types of things were just stuff. When I see a need, I go after it. And what I saw was a need in the mental health world is huge. And what we're seeing now, Chuck, on just pure mental health, 1 in 5 kids under the age of 18 will have a mental health issue, be it ADD, anxiety, depression, those kinds of things, oppositional, defiant, learning disability, 1 in 5. And it's just really, really something of what's going on out there. And so the you coaches that listen to this, you've got to realize these kids are coming in situations. If you've got 50 kids out there, you've got 10 of them that are having issues of some kind and some anxiety issues, the parent overbearing issue, low self-esteem, problems in school, developmental situations. So there's a whole myriad of things that I am now trying to help coaches understand who their players are. You can't treat an 11-year-old like a 16-year-old, for instance, because they're very concrete in their thinking, and they're not going to, you know, now, do you see that if you do this and you do that, and this will happen, that's way beyond an 11-year-old. So we've got to look at that in different aspects. But, yeah, I think, Chuck, I always tell everybody I was a great pediatrician until I had kids. And as you know my three boys, and two of them are ADD, and one of them played – well, actually, two of them played tennis for you for a while and really enjoyed that time. And one played basketball. They were all basketball stars in high school and all on state championship tennis teams. So, and then one played basketball at Clemson, one played tennis at Clemson under you. So it's a – I believe in sports. I believe in the fast-brained person being successful, and I understand that we've got to have life skills and we've got to have self-monitoring. So as I ramble on, you better put me in a box here, Chuck.
No, I want to – this is so – just so interesting and amazing because – well, I have two quick questions that come to mind here. Number one, haven't we – is this ADD stuff a new phenomena, or has it always been there? I mean, like I can remember I had to go to SRA reading things. My reading comprehension was very bad when I was back in high school in the 60s. And I always developed my own little ways of trying to remember the notes and to do things through college. And my golly, without Cliff Notes and without some of those things, I don't know if I could have gotten through that. That's number one. Is it a new phenomenon or not? And then I wanted to ask you about the pushback that you have to have gotten from those people that are just pumping our kids full of pills all the time, you know. And then I want to talk about, of course, the way that you do treat these ADD kids. But what about this new phenomena? Some people just believe that it's been made up for the, you know, pharmaceutical industry to make more money, Jim. I mean, what about that?
Well, I have to, I can't discount that. The ADD has been around for a long time. The description of the kids that just could not stay focused, and somebody called them hyper, and it's been around, you know, in the early 1900s. Especially when you tried to have kids start and to go to school when school system really started sitting in. But, you know, an ADD kid on a soccer field and running around is not a problem, or working in a factory is not a problem. Sitting in a desk, if they become a problem. And school system was actually developed for factories. If you go back and look at the history of schools, it was really to try to get the kids out of the factory and to find out who could be better factory workers. And so what we had them do was sit in chairs and work in a set way, and then have the boss at the front of the front, and the boss, of course, is the teacher, and then we've got the bell and the whistle of the factory, and that is our school bell. And so we really have become monitors and people that go by the bell, and there's been some wonderful written things and articles about how we respond to the bell. And with that, it is just so wrong, because we are telling people now, these kids are sitting in classes for an hour, hour and a half block schedule, that they've got to sit in a hard wooden desk for an hour and pay attention. And what we know and what I've been working with is figuring out how we learn. And the neuroscience of learning has totally, totally changed in the last 3 or 4 years as we now can brain map. And real quickly, Chuck, if a bunch of neurons, if I'm thinking of hitting a forehand and I'm emotional in that and I'm worried, certain neurons in my brain are firing off. If they're firing off, they need more oxygen. To get more oxygen, the blood flow increases. We can actually scan the brain at that moment in time and see the increased blood flow, therefore can see where in the brain I'm thinking. So we know that our emotional area is a place called our amygdala. There are now 1,000 connections between that and our prefrontal cortex, where we're thinking. And if you have an emotional response, the reason you have an emotional response is because you thought of something briefly. Quick case in point, a boy comes in, he's ranked 6th in the South in high school, and the mom says he gets mad halfway after being talking with him for about 10 minutes. And I knew this ahead of time going in. I said, "Don't you hate playing against a ball machine?" And he goes, "What do you mean?" "You know, when you make a mistake against the ball machine, I get so mad, I throw my racket down and I kick it." And he goes, "Why would you do that?" "Well, I know the ball machine doesn't miss." He said, "Well, that's stupid." And I went, "Yes, it is, isn't it?" And so he finally, I reeled him in to understanding, why do you get mad on the tennis court? It's because of all the other things. It's the parents that you're playing for, and you look to the parent every 2 seconds. I don't want to lose in front of everybody. I know I should be able to beat this guy. And that's why people are getting mad. That emotional comes from the prefrontal cortex. A thought goes to the emotion. That emotion, if it's negative, then develops a negative response, and we are into a negative circle. So a negative response leads to another negative thought and a negative action. Negative action, negative thought, negative response. And we can't get out of it. And that's why your kids, a lot of times, once they start spiraling down, you've got to break that cycle. So I'm big, and the same thing happens in the classroom. And so as we're looking at these kids and saying, okay, how can we become positive? Because if that amygdala fires off a signal to the limbic system, to my adrenals, cortisol goes up, heart rate, blood pressure go up, the only thing I can do is fight or flight. That's all I can do. So that's why you get the arguments. That's why they walk away from you. That's why they can't deal with you and talk with you, because their brain is so into that fight or flight side. And so if we can teach the kids that a mistake is an okay thing, but it's something to learn from, and then we're looking at the positives, it's a different world. Now, what has happened in the school world is that teachers aren't trained in this. Doctors, believe it or not, we just, from one of the, University of North Carolina, we just interviewed a guy that for a potential job, and he was proud of the fact that he saw 10 ADD kids in 3 years of his pediatric residency. 10. And known for depression, nobody with anxiety and stuff. So doctors are not trained, and this is in today's world. When I was coming along, they were...
Or they're trained to just give some pills out, you know, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's,
go ahead.
But no, you're right, because that's all we know. We don't know that they need to teach about the positiveness. They don't know that we're not taught a thing about the importance of exercise and learning, which exercise helps you. I did a study with music and shows that music improves. As a matter of fact, Clemson now has, as you know, you put speakers around the tennis courts when you were at Clemson, because it improves the ability of the brain to respond and act and stay focused. The old baseball, you know, Little League, we would all do chatter in the infield. Why? It helped us focus. Of course, some mom complained because her child struck out when they said swing, so now you can't do that. Nutrition is so important. And how does nutrition go? And then why do kids come to me for problems is because they're having problems in school. I have had zero training in the school system, and the school system's had zero training in ADD. And so you're right to the fact that it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and nobody has been trained and works together. And that's what we're doing at Fast Brain. We're trying to say, okay, this is an integrative approach. We do the medical clinical. We look at, believe it or not, vitamin D deficiency. We do EKGs. We have there is no test for ADD, so don't let anybody tell that. There's no computer program out there that treats ADD. There's some people charging anywhere from $5,000 to $12,000 to train your child and say they can cure ADD. It cannot happen, because focusing is something that you want to do. Learning has to have value and meaning, Chuck, as you know, and you do that so well as a coach. Talk a minute, Chuck, and I'm going to turn it back to you. talk a minute about how you make value and meaning and meaningful and making it relative to a tennis player. How do you make playing tennis on the tennis team have relative, it's relative to them, it's got value and it has meaning?
Well, there's, of course, several things. It usually the sport itself, Jim, is if it's hard to pick up, it's hard to put down. I mean, it's just through honoring the sport. But then it's also the camaraderie with other people. Also, it's the routines and the things that the people do every day. But you basically bring value to it by doing it well and by pursuing excellence. I'm very much against right now. I've had shows on tweenerism and kids being we call them, you know, tweeners, and as far as their ability to try hard and things, but basically it has to become important. It has to become valuable for any learning to carry over. So I mean, I think it's that you care a lot. You have the team care a lot. You go after goals, but you also, it comes from honoring the sport at a different, at a much deeper level. It's more than an after-school activity. So, that to answer your question, that's how we try to bring value and importance to it. It's not, it's about mastery. I preach mastery more than success. Success sort of dwindles. And it fluctuates as far, and then the kid's motivation goes up and down. But it's really about mastery of something that's as beautiful as tennis, you know, music, art. These are all the skill sets that evoke passion from a young person's soul. And that's I think, why most of us are in coaching, you know. So,
well, I totally agree. And what I use is I am so on to that also. I don't, you know, they come in here and they want success for their child and success in the classroom. And I'm going, I really don't care if your child makes A's and B's. And they look, the parents look at me startled. Now, granted, you know, that's my ultimate aim, and we're successful with 84% of them. But I say I want the child to feel successful. And I used the tennis analogy, and I did that this morning, and that was, is it more important hitting the ball, or is it more important being loaded on the right leg and my body rotated and focusing and having worked on my core and my inner strength and ready to explode and load and explode? And everybody here says, well, load and explode. And I said, that's right. And if you do the background learning, and what we know with learning is in small chunks of information. And so you coaches and parents, if you're trying to teach somebody something over an hour, forget it. You've got maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And then you teach them in an explosive way, and then you have them review it and then take a break and get away from it. All you have to do is get away from it for 2 or 3 minutes and then back at it. But you've got to have them review. And so my thing is that they feel successful, and Chuck, you've done a lot for teaching me this. If you can feel successful at tennis, then you're going to feel successful, and if you miss a shot, okay. When Federer misses a shot, he takes a practice swing. It's a whole idea of, okay, now I can go to the next stage, and that feeling of mastery is so much better than we feel that we gotta win that tournament. The other day I was giving a parent talk at a tennis academy, and a dad said to me, well, do you take your kids out when they would win a tournament or something? And I go, well, sometimes. He said, well, you didn't celebrate? And I said, well, yeah, we'd celebrate. And he said, well, good. So what I knew that he did is he would, if his kid won, he would take him out to a big restaurant and make a big deal of it. And he said, so what would you do? And I said, well, I'd look at the trophy, and then I'd say, well, you really played a nice match. And I would tell him, the child, two nice shots that they made, and they were usually had to deal with hustle or diving on the court, or if it was basketball, a dive or a pass or something. It wasn't number of points scored. And then he said, well, where would you go eat? And I go, well, then I'd say, do you want to get a milkshake at Hardee's? And he said, well, why wouldn't you take them out? And I said, well, so I win a big tournament, and you take me to the fancy restaurant. Now, the next time I play the number one guy, and I had in the audience was a guy that is currently 35 and over national champ, And I said, I play Paul first round and win 2 points. Well, now you don't take me out anywhere. Am I the same person? Yes. But you're telling me that by taking me out to eat and going overboard, it's not. And I think learning and growing up is a pathway. It's not a tournament is not the end result. When do you want your child to be good? So as you're coaching parents and you parents, you need to ask the question, when do you want your child to be good? I don't think Pete Sampras was number one in the world at 12, 14, 16, 18, and 25. You know, you got to pick. Federer was good, but he wasn't national champ when he was 15. So you've got to look. This is a stepwise thing, and just what you're talking about, Chuck, is that it's got to have meaning. It's got to have greater meaning. And I'm big in the negative self-talk. When we go back to the ADD fast brain individual, we are 75% negative self-talk. And as a parent, when we lose, what do we get from the parent? More negative self-talk. You know, why did you do this? And you should have done that and all that. I don't want to listen. I don't even want to talk to you as a parent when I lose. I just want to vent. I might want to vent a little bit, and you just need to listen. And maybe we talk about my bad backhand slice tomorrow, but we don't need to talk about it today. But I do. I remember walking with my son Jimmy, and he had had a bad loss, and he said, Dad, don't talk to me. And I said, okay, I won't. Of course, that's going to be hard for me. We're halfway to the car, and I said, you remember the forehand you hit second set, second game? And he said, yeah. I said, that was the hardest forehand I've ever seen. You'd have won that if you'd have hit him in the head because it had knocked him out. And he laughed and said, that was hard, wasn't it? I said, that was the best forehand I've ever seen. And I said, give me a high five. And he gave me five. And I said, he said, Dad, you want to get a milkshake? And I said, yeah, let's go get a milkshake. Totally changed his thought pattern because now we found one or two things that he did well. And I remember later I gave a talk to all the coaches at Clemson. And Coach Leggett at the time was the baseball coach. He was having problems with one of his pitchers. And he came up to me and said, what do I do? I said, well, go out to the mound when he's struggling and then talk about anything but baseball. Talk about the girl in the hat over in the corner. And then turn to him and say, you remember the fastball you threw last week against Florida State, the fastball in the right hand in the outside corner? He said, yeah, that's what I want to see. Throw the ball into his mitt and walk off. And he calls me up and he said, you're not going to believe it. That's what this kid did. And that, and I also had him pull the kid when he's doing well, because in baseball, the pitchers get pulled when they're doing badly. I had him pull him for 2 games when he was doing well and then go and only talk about positive moments. So a positive shot in tennis, the positive forehand or the positive backhand that they hit against a particular person or in practice. That guy was undefeated the rest of the year, and the Clemson lost in the super regionals. He was undefeated and had to be pulled in like about the 10th inning. I think they lost to go to the nationals. So it works. It's because we, you know, there's no such thing as muscle memory. It's between our ears. And a parent's job is to support us, is to support the coach, and it's to show up. And me as a child, I've got family issues, school issues, friends issues, my own stress issues, my anxiety issues. And thus, as a coach, you've got to figure out all that and deal with that. And that's a lot of thing. But I'm sorry, I got back off on that negative self-talk.
No. It's great. It's great. I wanted to ask you a couple things, though, about treating this. I mean, for years, we didn't know what was going on. But, you know, most of your – I know that people who have AD are attracted to a sport like tennis, or they're attracted to a fast-moving sport like basketball or something. They're attracted to that, and because it changes so quickly. But for years, we just had coping mechanisms like, you know, we would have simple routines and things that we do. But how you mentioned music, so you treat it with music. And that was an interesting thing. You said in one of your talks, you cannot have anything like rap when you treat ADD kids, or I think you said even classical, wasn't it? You have to have sort of like beach music or something that it's upbeat. Then you said you'd treat it also with diet, with exercise, you know, and then the mental rehearsals, of course, when you have negative stuff come in. Could you talk about the treatments that you do other than pills?
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's went back when I go back and talk about us doctors and educators don't know how to treat this, because it isn't just a pill, as you allude to. And even if you're just given a pill, that doesn't do the, that's not what it's all about. So number one is I talk about sleep. If you don't have good sleep habits, you're in trouble. And that starts with turning off the television. Melatonin puts us to sleep at night naturally in our brain. An iPad, 20 seconds on an iPad will cut off melatonin in my brain. So there should not be any television or computer screen at least 1 to 2 hours prior to going to sleep. The next is exercise. You've got to exercise. You've got to keep it going. When I'm doing studies, I have people study for 20 minutes, test themselves, and quick tests, and then exercise for 3 minutes. So, because it really helps your mood, and it helps you with the positiveness, and it helps you remember things better. It's amazing. Turning on music, upbeat, fun music. I say no rap because the beat and the words of rap, I'm not talking about the bad words, just the beat and the words are at different moments in time, and the brain fights that, so it can't learn. But regular upbeat music is great. Classical is too slow and sleepy, and then all of a sudden, boom, a radio station has too much talking and advertisement, so it just needs to be a playlist. Some people can do well with lyrics. Others, they need it just music without the lyrics. I know when I'm doing creative writing, I love lyrics, and if I've got some real hard stuff I've got to read and remember, I will not have lyrics. Nutrition is huge. People talk about sugar causing ADD. It does not cause ADD. It does give us a sugar high. The problem with sugar is the crash. The problem with a bad breakfast is the crash. So we all know Mountain Dew. If you want something done, give me a Mountain Dew in 30 minutes and it'll be done. What happens at 35 minutes? I crash. So especially at sports and especially at school, we've got to try to keep an even keel. So diet is a huge thing. I'm against processed meats, dyes, candies, Cokes, pure Gatorade, too much sugar. You need, and if you're trying to lose weight, it's off of white bread, even wheat bread. Most of the wheat bread is colored bread. You need whole grain bread and whole grain oats and stuff. So then I go into figuring out how you learn, Chuck, and that is, do you learn? I have, as you know, an auditory learning disability, so you can tell me your name, and, you know, a couple minutes later, I'm going to forget it. So I've got to really concentrate hard to make that, but I've got to use your name. So I got through medical.
Are most, real quick, sorry, okay. Sorry for interrupting. Are most ADD people auditorily challenged, more like visually? I noticed most tennis players. I took a test one time back in my 40s, and I was off the chart as far as very, very good visually. And that's true. Anytime I've seen somebody play, and I can remember things I see. Auditorially, though, not so good. Is that common in ADD people, or just random?
I find it one or the other, and they don't seem to have both have the same abilities, whereas the non-ADD individual tends to be able to learn hearing and seeing. But we all have a strength. My son Jimmy, for instance, he learns by hearing it, and so he has trouble taking notes. So he loves just to listen and do it. Reading for him is a struggle because his eyes jump all over the page, and while he's reading Mary Had a Little Lamb, he's going, Mary had, I wonder if I can go out and go swimming today or go to the mall. And his brain, you can only remember one thing at one moment in time. And so we've all read a page and not remembered anything we said, read. And why is that? It's because our brain is thinking of something else. So from a coaching standpoint, realize that as our student and the athlete is thinking of other things while you're out there talking to them. So you've got to redirect them. One of the ways is to ask questions, and we've all done this. And we go, so So who won that match? And the person will go, what'd you say, coach? They were paying attention. They just weren't paying attention to you. And with the ADD part, it's really attention described differently. ADD is because we go to the next most important thing that we feel is out there. So trouble learning auditorily, you learn visually. So, Chuck, if you know that I'm having trouble learning by hearing, for you to lecture me how to hit a forehand versus you showing me either a video of myself or a video of Federer, that is 10 times more imperative for me to see that. I am going to learn from that, from you telling me how to pull my arm up in the air and to relax and let it drop. I've got to see it. So therefore, when I see it, I'm good. You talking to me isn't going to do it. The next child can't see it. That you need to tell them. So there is, I think as a coach, you've understood that there are different ways of learning. You talk to them, you show them, and you give handouts. So you're hitting all three, and it's very important that you do all that.
Well, these are our smart kids. I mean, I really do. The one thing the Edison gene, I remember it said, was that the brain is always trying to evolve a little bit, and it's a bad approach to just drug it and dumb it down. And I'm so against drugs for ADD. But, however, there are times when you do prescribe this. Could you talk about that briefly and what is the drug meant to do? And here's the thought. Once you start taking that drug, you know, can you get off of it too?
Okay. Well, an amazing thing is that we're taught, in medicine, we're taught to treat disease, and the only way we treat disease is by drugs. So period, end of story. So why do we go to the doctor and get, don't be surprised, why do you go to the tire guy? He gives you a tire. He doesn't check your oil. So it's where, and unfortunately, it's how we've been trained. Now let's go to the, that most medicines come from a plant. And I recently, and you didn't ask about this, but 2-3 years ago, I had a PhD biochemist from Emory who does cancer research off of using plant extracts, and he sells a gram of his stuff for $1,000 around the world. And I asked him, could he make me some supplements to help with focusing? And we have been working for the last few years, and we have now 30% of our kids are now taking supplements. The problem with supplements you get in the GNC store or the vitamin shop is that only 10 or 20% actually have in the pill what you think, what's on the label. And also, the stuff in the capsules are not really of enough dosage to do enough work and do good. So we have worked real hard with using supplements, and they come from plant, and it's all natural. And we also are big believers in high-dose DHA, omega-3s, and phosphatidylserine, which helps activate that for memory. And a new study came out last weekend talking about that is perfect for heart disease. And we know that big studies are coming down that are going to show high-dose 700 milligrams of DHA and some EPA of at least 70 milligrams is going to be the thing for helping us with memory. So we use supplements.
What's DHA? Sorry, what's DHA, Doc?
It's got a long name. It's one of the omega-3s. So when you hear of omega-3s, fish oil, and it doesn't really matter. People go, well, does it need to be fish oil or plant oil? You know, my brain, I don't think, realizes that a nitrogen carbon compound came from a fish or a plant. It just doesn't know that. So I don't think that matters so much. And the problem with supplements is no drug company can make $1 million off of it. So therefore, they're not gonna do it. I'll tell you one quick anecdote. Lipitor beat red yeast extract by 5 or 10% in lowering total cholesterol. So that's not very much. Lipitor gets a patent, makes $1 billion off of it. Your red yeast extract is immediately banned from the United States. 2 years ago, Lipitor lost its patent, and I'm now taking red yeast extract because you can buy that across the counter, and it's cheap. So
What is it called?
Of this,
what do you, red?
Red yeast extract for lowering, lowering cholesterol. So there's a lot out there that we don't know about, and we're seeing a lot of success with that. Now let's go to the stimulants. Number one is when you're on it, I use it. I do not use it for sports. I occasionally will. I've had occasional tennis players that I just play and can focus better, and they're usually the baseline players. But I do use it for the classroom, and I use amphetamines for my adolescent males and mostly the methylphenidate Concerta for my females. And I talk very much how to take it. I only use it for school. I don't use it when you're not in school. I make sure that it does not hurt their blood pressure. Their appetite might be decreased a little bit. I certainly don't want to change their mood. I don't want to change their personality. So we're looking at all those kinds of things. And so it's a lot of close follow-up with that. But on top of that, we go back to teaching them how to learn, how to do the quick review, and those kinds of things. So whenever I'm given a medication, Chuck, it comes with the full-fledged, here's everything else, because you've got to do the stuff, the sleep, the exercise, the music, the nutrition, the figuring out how you learn, the fast chunks of learning information, speed learning. We use all that, and that's very important if you're going to use medication. So it really does need to be. And people can go to our website. We're getting ready to launch in the next couple of months. We're going to be launching teaching in these by web so people can understand and learn the different aspects of these things about ADD. That, again, kids come in saying they're fast brain, and they all talk about being fast brain. They get a fast brain bracelet and the whole thing. So that's the exciting. But medicine is important. Now, if you've got a child that's, say, especially an adolescent male, and he's taking Vyvanse or Adderall, it's going to be wearing off at 4 or 5 o'clock, and he might be a little extra tired, and he might be a little extra emotional. So we've got to talk about that, and that needs interaction with the coach. I'll be happy to talk to some of the coaches about that and dealing with those kids. But it's important if you're a coach to find out what your kids are taking, find out what supplements they're taking for food and the stuff that over-the-counter, and how is that affecting them, because they're doing that. What are they eating? Make them write it down and really get into that, because that's a big deal, as you know. And as they become college, you know, they start taking the stuff that you don't want them taking. They're taking that.
Wow. You know, it's amazing. I sit here and I'm just thinking about how crummy we do as, I hate to say as parents, but or just our society in it's not just the fast foods. It's the not sitting down and having well-balanced meals. It's not having supper time. It's not having our exercise routines, our children. It's not getting the sleep and allowing them to keep their brains turned on all the time with the computers and the cell phones and all of these things, the distraction that really just overload stuff. But what's so disagreeable with me is I will come across kids, and I've coached kids before, and said, I played poorly today. I didn't have my ADD pill. And it just really, really bothers me when kids go to disclaimers and they bail out on the stuff. And, yeah, I understand that sometimes the drugs help. But we're just goofing up in so many ways in the way we're raising our kids. And I think the biggest thing here is that if you have an ADD youngster on your team or one of your children, they've got to swing this to think that, you know what, I'm one of the smartest people out there. And I really, the book, The Edison Gene, was fantastic. Are there other books out there that sort of take this slant? That was the best thing I'd ever read as a, you know, I'm sure I had all that ADD stuff, but, you know, at this stage in life, you get coping mechanisms, and whether it's, you know, your different routines with exercise, music is the big one for me. Whenever things are, my brain starts rushing and I feel out of control with my thoughts and stuff, music is huge. But,
I think one of the things you could do, and you know, there are a lot of books out there that are pretty good. The Old Standby by Ned Halliwell, who's a close friend of mine, wrote Driven to Distraction, and the problem is the book is small print and no pictures, and I can't get through the thing. So it's, but if you want to get a gist of all this, is pull up on YouTube, and it's called The Crazy Ones. Just type in The Crazy Ones on YouTube and sit back for a minute and a half. And the deal is I want your parents and your coaches to understand these kids are very successful. When I tell you that I can get 84% of all my kids coming in, I'm 55% Medicaid. I got parents that my total practice, we have over 50, 60,000 patients. So I've got a cross section of the entire country coming to see me for all nationalities and all walks of life. And I can get them all. I just had a child who was all F's, and he somehow got into the ninth grade, came in here slumped shoulders, and when he left, he gave me a high five and hard knuckles, and he says, I'm ready to go, because I had changed his thought pattern that he can accomplish. And that is what we've got to do. We can't give them lip service. You know, we can't say, oh, that's okay, you lost, the weather was bad, the sun was too hard. You know, it was the same for both players. Let's not give – you got to work through. You lost. I had one parent say, well, what do you tell them when they got beat real bad? I said, you got beat real bad. That's what I tell them. And then I said, now we got to go work, and that's okay. But there, your child is okay, and the same with school. And when we're talking about using medication, there's no excuse. ADD is not an excuse. That is an asset. The reason you're good at what you're doing, you watch Jimmy play. And you go, my gosh, that guy won't stop. And he's going for it. Yeah. And you got to let the ADD kid go for it. And if you're trying to pin him up and not let him use his creativity and ingenuity in creating, why is Andy Murray so daggum good on the tennis court? Because he's thinking things. He's trying different things. People used to get mad at him because he was trying drop shots or slicing. Or then he would do a top spin, and then he would hit it hard. And why? Because his brain is constantly thinking of different things to try and do. Be creative. Let your kid be creative and crazy creativity, and help them with that, because that's who they are. And I think what we try to do, Chuck, is that we try to make kids something that they're not. We try to say that you've got to sit in the chair. We tell them you've got to do your tennis this way, rather than quick breaks and quick doing. And if they do it positive five times, take a break, stop, say, remember that. We don't need to teach. We don't need to keep hitting until they break down. If they break down on you, you got to build them back up before practice is over. Give them a write-up, two things they did good today, or ask them, what are two things you learned today at practice? And not the whole thing. You might have had five things you got across. What are two things? And maybe write it down and give it to the parent. Or give it to the child, more importantly. Here are two positives that you get. We don't even let the negative response from the teacher get into their book. You know, they get a daily, the younger kids have their daily trapper keeper, and the parents will put, oh, they had a bad day today. That's not allowed in there, because the child is walking around with that. And their life is not a smiley face or a frowning face. They're positive. And if we can keep this positive ingenuity, creativity aspect, and that life is, you've got to keep learning towards it. And it's not a pill. It's who they are, and I'm behind you, and use your creativity, and yeah, you're crazy, and yeah, you don't do things like they are, but, you know, we're not trying to conform like everybody else. We're all fast brain.
Right.
And us fast brains,
right,
you better hang on, because we're coming.
It's fast brain, folks, fast, B-R-A-I-I-N, .com, fastbrain.com. And Dr. Poole, we're about out of time here. Hang on. I wanted to tell them.
Made in America, born in a heartland, raised up a family, King James and Uncle Sam. He's got the red, white, blue, flying high on a farm. Semper Fi tattooed on his left arm. Spend a little more in the store for a tag in the back. He's just made.
again is Dr. Poole. Thank you very, very much for being on the show today. You do more good than you would ever know. Thank you very, very much. And I appreciate you. Appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
And folks, reminding, yeah, man, thanks to listening today. And remember that you're always in the process of winning or losing every day of your life, and it has very little to do with the win or loss. We will see you next week on American Tennis.
Opinions stated by various contributors to the UR Tennis Network and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR Tennis Network. Participants are encouraged to use their own discernments and draw their own conclusions. All information, products, and services offered by the UR Tennis Network are for personal use only. The UR Tennis Network does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of information contained within the network. Any products or services provided for should be used solely for entertainment purposes. We emphasize the idea of keeping an open mind and not construing the products, services, or data as factual.